love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. Several things, and I'm going to do the unheard of. I'm going to try to be short. First, obviously, Leo's birthday was last week, and I did send him a card Saturday, so I was like 2 days late. One of the issues I had is I do have a reminder that comes up a week before everybody's birthday. And, you know, I push it off a day each time just to prepare. And in his case, I actually hit dismiss, so it didn't come up anymore. And so it was a couple days afterwards, kind of like, uh-oh! But the good news is, it wasn't because I got reminded afterwards. It's because I remembered my grandson, Leo. Someone that I have an affinity for, a care for, a love for. And notice a bit of a resemblance in him and myself. And I've never met. Anyway, I did hear from Chris about Steve Ward. He was at the service today, or set yesterday, and he did describe the day before, a couple days before, whatever it was, when Steve passed. Because one of the things that happened is his wife and all his kids, and he has 10 kids, were there. And what it reminded me of, because I have mentioned this before, the group Genesis Apologetics did a video called Foundations, where they showed three scenarios. One is a person who, I really think they did an excellent job artistically. It was beautiful. They showed three scenarios of a person starting as a child, growing up as an adult, and then dying. So, you know, they compressed somebody's life. And they did it beautifully. And they showed three different scenarios. One scenario, and they used the understanding of Genesis as the example. But they did state at the end, the objective is not saying that you're saved if you understand that creation happened in 6 days and you're toast if not. No, he says, but this is one of the factors that show that characteristic. Because if you're denying that, you're probably denying other things, which I agree with. But they showed the guy who, oh yeah, you know, Genesis, that's just a quaint story. And then, of course, he has a whole lot of issues in his life and dies alone. There's no one there. The second one is a guy who is modestly, he's in the club, but his lifestyle does not show that full embrace of, I want to live in obedience to Christ. It's kind of, it's frequently described as a person with fire insurance, but does not really live in obedience to Christ. The third one is someone who is striving to be obedient to Christ. And, you know, so the first guy, he died alone. Second guy, he died with his wife alone at his bed. Third one, his wife, and in this case, they showed two daughters with him as he passed. And I thought about that, and I actually watched it again Saturday because of that, because that's what I hear about Steve Ward. He had his family there when he passed. Because when I first saw this video some long time ago, my guess is, and I even talked with Chris about this today, because he said, yeah, that's a reasonable guess, but that's not, you know, there's still hope, which I agree with. But the guess is that unlike Steve Ward, I'm going to die alone. There will be no one there. You know, I haven't seen my wife and kids in a decade, so it's, why would I expect that to change? It could. Obviously, I've been pursuing that now for, well, about a decade. But the issue is, I'm also going to pass celebrating Christ. I'm not going to be like that first guy or even the second. In that sense, I'm more like the third guy. Because, you know, Steve Ward had 10 kids. And obviously I have 9 kids. 9 kids walking the earth as I describe it, because there are others. But the other thing is, obviously, when that mention of the 10th child was discussed, is when my wife abandoned me. Well, more formally abandoned me. I did that useless stage of going to the state, which again is useless. In the eyes of God, it means nothing. It's a reject. Well, you know, I would suggest, because I often point to the 1 Corinthians 6 about when you turn to the state, it's a shameful thing. And, you know, I've discussed that, the entropy and all that stuff. But the other thing about that is the other example, turning this to the state, is the 1 Samuel 8, the asking for a king. And it's kind of like, what did God say? You're rejecting me as your king. My wife, Jim Cross, has rejected Christ as their king because they turned to the state. I would suggest that's true. And of course, no one will say anything, will they? But a couple of things. One other thing I found very humorous, because I saw someone mention, because I did mention about that truck caravan in Canada, and they arrived in Ottawa, and they have a lot of people there. They have a whole lot of people there, and I understand they're going to stick around for a while. I don't, you know, I've only got some, you know, saw some of the videos, big crowds and so forth. But, you know, the Right Honorable Justin Trudeau, a day or two, 3 days before this happened, I've tested positive with COVID, so I'm going to self-isolate. And he's isolating in an undisclosed location. And so basically he's hiding. Because you have thousands upon thousands of truckers in, you know, right there within a mile. I think it's like they're within a mile of where his home is, and he disappeared. Because, you know, he feared. I think that's reasonable. But instead of calling it COVID-19 in his case, they're calling him Coward 19. I thought that was great. So the Prime Minister of Canada is Coward 19. But on that, a couple things. One is I've had some dialogues with some people, and one gentleman who I consider a good friend, family member, tested positive for COVID-19, and there's this isolation, which reminded me of that No One Should Die Alone video that I did a year plus ago. I guess I should put the link in for that, because it that was a big deal too. Make myself a note, because anyway, So his relative is being isolated, and I ask after the fact, and he apparently had already asked, so he knew, you know, because the PCR test, I think it was the CDC said as of the first of the year, they're going to stop using it, and of course they still use it. And of course, long ago, they've said, well, yeah, the cycle count is going too high. So instead of saying, we're going to reduce the cycle count when we do the test, we're simply not going to report it. And that's what happened in his case. He said, yes, we've determined that your relative is positive for COVID-19. We used the PCR test, and we can't tell you the number of cycles we used. In other words, the technical term there is fraud. But anyway, I just found that the fraud continues. The fraud continues. However, one other thing, I got an article from a group out of Canada that I find well respected, called Global Research, and they have a lot of articles, and they had an article there today, and you know, because obviously I have mentioned the microclot issue, summertime or in the fall, I think it was August or September, because that's about the time I first heard about it, you know, and I brought it up, and it was a big concern. And then I kept hearing more about it, more details and whatnot. And I was concerned almost basically at the beginning because the concept made sense. You know, because I've stated over many times. So much for short. Anyway, I stated many times. I stated 2 years ago. The purpose of COVID-19, money, power, eugenics. And then I said eugenics or genocide. And obviously the pharmaceutical companies, you know, brought to you by Pfizer, they're making billions upon billions. And of course, the best way to do this is, oh no, these tests are free. The government pays for it, which means we're going to charge you for it by taxing you and then give it to you free. So it's fraud. It's remarkable fraud. And you know, so the eugenics aspect or the genocide aspect, I've pointed out before, and I'll stand on this idea. If you want to kill a lot of people, it used to be you'd use warfare in the sense of I'm gonna destroy you by, well, many years ago it would be I'm showing up with the swords. Later with the guns, and of course later with the nuclear bombs, and I'm going to destroy you. The problem is when you do that, you know, especially in our age where a nuclear bomb, you're destroying also the place you're trying to take over. So what you need to do is destroy the people. This was a lot of the idea behind what do they call it? One of the nuclear bombs, the what was it called? There's talk about dirty bombs and so forth because of the amount of radiation that they would give off. And there was one particular design for a nuclear bomb that would blow up, but it wouldn't be as big of an explosion, but the radiation would be excessive, or far greater than others. You know, because again, at the Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so many of the people died not during the explosion. Those were actually the lucky ones. Those people who died because of the radiation poisoning, because they were close enough that they were just highly radiated and slowly died a painful death. So that you know, there's a cruelty aspect. And you know, you think, okay, if these people are going to be cruel against me and give me a cruel death, I might want to fight against them. So the objective would be to say is, how do you get people to say, give me whatever you want to give me in order to help me die? And it's the vaccine. Because you've convinced people that I need the vaccine to protect me. And I don't see a downside. The evidence, apparently, what's happening. And I've seen some examples of it. What's happening, especially in a lot of the news media, the talking heads, especially the real popular ones, are saying, or even you know, President of the United States saying it's the pandemic of the unvaccinated, or things of that kind of thing. And it's the unvaccinated that are dying and whatnot. But look at the actual reality. Look at where you can actually get the evidence. It's the exact opposite. The evidence of people who are dying. One, they're the vaccinated who are dying of flu-related things that increase. Well, because, you know, again, so many times what you'll see is that people, especially people who are in poor health or whatnot, or people who are dying from things other than, you know, a gunshot to the head or, you know, a fatal car accident, things of that nature. People who are dying and are attributed to COVID-19. Typically have, I think the number is 4 comorbidities. In other words, 4 other things are contributed to their death. And one of the things was pointed out, old age is not one of them. So it's they had other factors that caused their death. And they also tested positive. And again, the positive test was useless. So you take those things and you try to twist it to say, that the unvaccinated, no, it's the vaccinated who are dying. And One of the big issues, it's the insurance companies that are saying, was it the 18 to 45 year old, where people are not expected to die in that age range. And that's where the insurance companies make a whole lot of money, because people pay insurance and people don't die. You know, and so they rake in boatloads of cash during that period, except in the last year or so, they had an increase of 40%, is it? Increase in death rate in that age range. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with, it's not COVID-19, but it's the vaccine that's killing them. And so the point of all this is there's this article that, and I'll give you the link, that shows in depth that the issue, the number one issue that would suggest of the vaccine is the microclot issue. You know, again, that makes sense to me. That made sense to me 6 months ago or whatever it was. Because what happens is, and apparently what I described 6 months ago is pretty accurate, you know, because I described how you put these spike proteins, and they had little spikes, literally spikes on them. You put them into your body. You know, it's a virus, so it gets into a cell. You know, a virus does not reproduce. It has to get into a cell, and when that cell reproduces, it reproduces the virus. And so it's the bacteria that self-replicate. A virus needs to get into your cell. So it gets into your cell, and it has that spike that literally pokes through the cell to grab another one. And what happens is there was an initial claim, you stick it, you get it injected in your arm, and the bulk of it stays there. Well, actually, only about a quarter of it stays there, apparently, and three quarters of it goes throughout your body. And where does it go? A whole bunch of it goes into these tiny capillaries throughout your body and embeds itself. And because we're talking trillions upon trillions of these when you get the injection, and then, of course, they reproduce. And you get these throughout your body, and they form these. And what happens is they get into a cell that's in one of these capillaries, and then that spike will grab a blood cell coming by and literally grab it and hold on to it. And you end up with a blood clot. And I think from what I understand, there's also some technique where a couple blood cells will actually kind of stick together or something of that nature. So you have this blood clot now. But again, if it's a tiny little thing, and you'll never notice, and it doesn't show up on tests, except the D-dimer test. And somebody mentioned that. Oh, there's this little 3-minute video on the that you can find on the internet about that the pre-vaccinated should take the D-dimer test. Who did that? Let me think about that. I nailed it. That's exactly what you need to do. Because the point I made, because I actually wrote these people, the point I made is, for example, a whole lot of those truckers in Canada, they're going out and saying, I don't want this. I refuse to have this. And so you have a huge percentage of people who say, I don't want this. And those who say, oh, I trust in the state. You know, the Proverbs 1984, I trust in the state. I'll have to link that too. Because I like that video anyway. So people who are trusting in the state say, oh, these people are bad because we took the vaccine. And of course, now that we have the vaccines, we can give the vaccines to our kids and so forth. And the point I made, because I've seen examples of this, the point I made is get a pro-vaccine person to say, yes, I believe in the vaccine. I haven't had it yet, or my kids haven't had it, but I believe in the vaccine, and I'm willing to prove it by taking a D-dimer test before the vaccine and after. And if you do that to your kids, and you find that you permanently damaged your kids, suddenly those people who were, I'm pro-vaccine, will be probably the greatest allies for those who don't want the vaccine mandated. because they will find out they've either shortened the life of their kids or they actually killed them. Suddenly you'll have allies. But they have to know. So how do you know? The D-dimer test is about $25. Do it before and afterwards. It's a big deal. One other thing. I did send out several DVDs on my Luke 16 stuff. I sent emails to a number of people, and I've actually had some face-to-face conversations. So there's been several dialogues on that. And one of the points that I made, I think it was even in that video, if I'm wrong, I know it's an expression my wife doesn't like, correct me where I'm wrong. I want to know from evidence, not because of an authority who said it, unless the authority is the Lord. I want to know from evidence from Scripture, where I'm wrong. If I'm right, the institutional church has a really big problem, and the leadership in it has a really, really big problem. A lot more than microclots. I mean, this is a really big problem. If I'm wrong, correct me. If I'm right, my guess is people like Jim Cross, they're entrenched. Their trust is in the institution. I'm afraid my wife is the same way. She wants the world, not me. Because the world's more important than obedience to Christ. That's the clear evidence. I look at some of my kids, that's the clear evidence with them too. But I hope not all. And I want at least one. I want to know that at least one of my kids says, no, I don't want the world, I want the Lord. Not the party on Sunday morning, but the Lord, who's going to give you tribulation, persecution, and chastisement, and embrace you with his love. It is my hope and prayer that at least one of my kids, be nice if my wife, be great if Jim Cross too, would say, yes, that's what I want too. I want to know the Lord on his terms, not mine, not on the institution's terms. I want to know the Lord by the way the Lord defines himself. There is absolutely no evidence that they're pursuing it. Because obedience to Christ requires love. I have had, in the last few days, several dialogues via email and face-to-face that have been phenomenal. Mutual blessing. Great encouragement. And speaking of that great encouragement, because I mentioned the No One Should Die Alone video. One of the things I mentioned in then is my friend Chris thought that my wedding anniversary was near the end of the month, and he found out, no, it was actually the following day or something of that nature. And he said, okay, I'll be there at this time and we'll go out to eat or whatever it was. Because Chris understands It's horrible to be alone. When you have a wife who you would normally celebrate an anniversary, a birthday, hers or mine, and she refuses. It hurts. The plan. Chris said, okay, I'll be there tomorrow. I mean, as in, not, you know, he was there from the anniversary. You know, he showed up and we had a dinner. This was 2020. I think 2020. But he's coming tomorrow again. So I don't spend that day alone. We're going to share a meal and a hike. See, that's what a friend does. That's when someone says, I want to show you love. I want to show that to my family. They don't get this. They close the door. Again, my assumption is the postcards I send are thrown in the trash. They're never seen. I'm sure those DVDs on the Luke 16 probably were discarded, weren't they? Good news. They're online and they have been seen by others. I have people far away who show more care for me than my own family. If you want to know if I'm showing care for my family, do you know how much effort it's taken over the years to produce all these videos, audios, to have almost 1,400 consecutive voicemails? Do you know how much effort that has been? It's called enduring to the end. I'm not giving up. So I blew it again on a short video. Steve Ward didn't die alone. He had his family around him. It has been my prayer for a long time. Because, you know, I spoke with a gentleman yesterday. And one of the things that came up is because I was walking home. I went to Publix, and I was walking home. And, you know, there he was in the yard. And walked up to him, because somebody I knew. And we started a conversation. One of the things he mentioned is, yeah, you walked fast. Because obviously when I walk down the road, it's noticeable. I walk fast. And, you know, I mentioned the fact that because we had a long conversation. And one of the things that came up was we talked about health. We had something that we should... I got to share this. You know, because... his story was slightly different because I shared with my story was until 1980, I enjoyed my Coca-Cola. I was drinking. I was at the point to I was drinking about a 6-pack a day, and I enjoyed it. You know, obviously the sugar, the caffeine, and whatnot. And I realized I was thinking I'm having trouble sleeping. It's probably the caffeine. So I said, okay, I had like half a 6-pack or whatever left in the refrigerator. I'm going to enjoy them and I'm going to stop. That was 1980 and I haven't had a Coke since. And, you know, he said, okay, I can relate. For him, it's been only about 20 years. But he was drinking... not a 6-pack a day. He was probably drinking pretty close to twice that every day. He had it worse than I did. And he did the same thing. He went cold turkey. Quit. And hasn't for, I think it's 20 years. And so, you know, that's a bond with somebody. That's kind of like, yeah, we both, in a very similar way, went through the same thing. And, you know, my case is, what, 40 years? His case is only 20. But still, to have it for decades, you know, I think he's as committed as I am. So, you know, it's interesting bond. But anyway, I find that joy with anyway. So, but one of the things in that conversation is, you know, I mentioned the fact that I start my mornings now doing 500 jumping jacks. And it was, you're kidding. So, and I have my bags over my shoulders, I dropped the bags, and I'm right there in his front yard doing jumping jacks. I only did about a dozen. But, you know, the point was, they were actually good form. And this was doing them after walking about 6 miles. So, you know, so you have this old guy in the guy's front yard doing jumping jacks. But, you know, it's become a symbol to me. You know, the walking is kind of a symbol. It's been my prayer that when I get to 70, that I will still be able to walk the Greenway at 4 miles an hour. Right now, I'm at about 4.7. So if I can still do it at 4 miles an hour, I will feel that I'm still reasonably healthy, because that's fast. You know, 4.7 is ridiculous. 4.0 would be sufficient. But, you know, I think you don't do that every day. I don't do that every day. But I do the jumping jacks every day. So it's been my request to the Lord that I do that for every day for the rest of my life. And if there's a day that I don't do it, it's because it's the last day of my life. Reason being, it's not because I worship jumping jacks, but it's a clue. If I can do the jumping jacks, I'm an I'm an adequate physical health that, you know, I can survive in the being alone as I am. Because when I can't do that, I might become dependent, and I don't want to be dependent. You know, if my wife was here, that'd be something different. So it's been my prayer that I do the jumping jacks every morning for the rest of my life. And that is my hope and prayer. Anyway, so many things. And one of the things I have to avoid in order to be able to do those jumping jacks, because if I took the vaccine and get the microclots, my walking pace would probably go down. And it might not be 500 jumping jacks, maybe be 100 or less. And if you get the second, you know, because it's accumulative. And if you get a booster, it's more. And again, that's what I say. This is genocide. This is not because it seems, this is not something that's not understood. This is understood and promoted. Understood by, you know, some. Because the evidence is there. So the person that's handing you, you know, it's what I've described with the Bible describes, what the Lord informs us about. There's the false teacher, and there's the teaching the wrong doctrine. I would suggest the medical staff who believe that the authorities are correct and the vaccines are good are teaching the wrong doctrine. They have been deceived, and so therefore what they do is follow the deception that came to them. But they're deceived. It's not that they're malicious. They're deceived and therefore doing the wrong thing. Whereas the false teacher knows what he's doing. In the case of teaching the wrong doctrine, people repent. We have the examples in the, you know, again, one of the great examples would be the Apostle Paul. Yeah, because clearly it was kind of like, oops, I was going the wrong direction. But some people in the medical community could do that. Again, somebody who says, I'm pro-vaccine, does the D-dimer test, finds out I have permanently damaged my kids, may change his doctrine. But the false teacher, or the person who's knowingly says, the vaccine will cause microclots. The impact will be slow, but it will radically reduce reproduction. It's another thing that's been quite clear. But it'll take people and weaken them and then kill them in very large numbers. Again, let me remind you, 2020, that first year of the pandemic, there's no spike in the overall all-cause death rate around the world. There was no pandemic. It simply wasn't there. The numbers for 2021, I don't know what they are yet, but there has been an increase, but not due to the increase in deaths by flu. They will attribute it that way because, again, the line with statistics is remarkable. You know, but suicide, murder, and whatnot. When you have no reason to live, people will die. And again, one of the ways to destroy somebody is isolation. This goes back to the SAMS thing that I've mentioned, and because the isolation kills. It's a really big deal. Anyway, so much for being short. The microclots is a big deal. I'll give you the article. I highly recommend it. It's technical, but it's not that bad. It's reasonable, easy to read. The Luke 16. If I'm wrong, please correct me where I'm wrong. Honestly, correct me where I'm wrong. If you have any love in you, in obedience to Christ, correct me where I'm wrong. And I anticipate a delightful hike with Chris tomorrow. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, that I'm fully committed to, unwaveringly, I love you.